It's a very low barrier to get into the Gronk Squad.
That's crazy.
We've committed to do the Daily Talk Show for 10 years.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Put it in the calendar.
That one in.
I'd just like to check the temperature in the room.
I told you my squeegee story.
It is outrageous.
Come on, let's go.
G'day, Trev.
G'day, mate. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, it's perfect. You sound great. You're on the stream right now.
Hello, stream. Hello, world.
What's going on?
How good was that 3D deal flashback?
Oh, were you watching? Were you watching that?
Yeah, I was watching. I don't think I've seen that full video. I think I saw bits of it maybe on Instagram or something.
But not the whole thing. I don't think it was posted. If Trev would remember that. His money being spent. Pulled over the top of his head.
Certainly, I've never seen the champagne in the bath ever.
I was spewing. I remember just being so spewing about that. But we can laugh at it now. It was very good. Mate, you're giving away a car. Can you just tell us about that?
That's a good question. So I started getting all these ads in my Facebook feed for all these exotic car giveaways. And there was this one, certainly in Sydney, it was proceeds for the Rural Fire Service. I'm thinking, why is the Rural Fire Service, like your CFA, giving away a bloody McLaren? Yeah. And it turns out it's just some... I'm not going to say dodgy, but some, you know, individual who's found a way to find a fundraising mechanism, but also a way of selling his own car, right? Mm-hmm. And so now all I get in my Facebook feed are these ads for blokes making money raffling cars. That's what they're doing, making heaps of money. And I just went, you know what? I can't afford a Lamborghini, but I'm doing okay. It's been an okay year after all the drama. I'm going to buy a car. I'm just going to give it away, like free entry and stuff. So I wanted to buy a Kia Picanto. So the only thing you can get for $20,000 with wireless Apple CarPlay, which is good tech. Yeah. And it kind of wasn't it's a cool little car, but it's not really an every person car. I was driving the Hyundai. Well, this is a really cool car. I rang the people at Hyundai and said, listen, I want to give away a car. And they went, listen, mate. I mean, and I went, no, stop you right there. I want to buy it. I want to buy a car, but I'd really like a good discount. Like, I can't afford the 24 grand or whatever it is for the car. And they went, listen, we'll work on it. They came back with a price that was reasonable. I went and bought the car. So I'm just doing it to build, you know, read, listen, watch is my thing. You know, I just want more people to watch, more people to read, more people to listen, and just reward fans. Yeah. Bit of fun. Why not?
So how does it work in regards to the chance draw thing? Like, I know that you have to get some, like,
That was not in the budget. It cost me $2,500 for those permits.
So what does the permit look like? What do they require of you?
What I did was I went to, might have been a radio station, you know, terms and conditions, and I copied it, and I just changed everything because I thought a lawyer's done this, right? So I'll just change all the bits. And just edited everything. And then I found a company that does all the submissions for you to New South Wales, Victoria and SA. And once you've got those three, you're allowed to do competitions anywhere in the country. I was trying to do a charity thing where you you donate to Gotcha for Life, which is Gus Wallen's kind of men's mental fitness program. And I wanted people to donate and then with their receipt number get extra entries in the draw. But apparently you're not allowed to do that under the gaming regulations. So in the end, it's just a, you know, click, put in your email address, and you've got one entry in the draw. But what I did is I use a thing called Gleam. It's a really cool kind of competition platform, Aussie-based. And I give a code word in a podcast. I'll give a code word during YouTube videos. I'll give a code word on the website. And also probably, hopefully, 3 or 4 weeks away from launching an app, there'll be a unique code word in everyone's app. And those code words get you more entries.
Oh, great.
So if you're a prize pig and you just filled in the form and got one entry, there's going to be people that blitz you with 200 entries because they listen, watch, and read everything. So it's just a really fun, you know, user engagement thing, because I get really good fan engagement in the Facebook group. That's where I do everything. It's a fun group, really loyal, really passionate about what I do and what technology is. So, yeah, it's a cool, fun, you know, giveaway. I'm mad.
I mean, we talked about free stickers on this show once, and we had someone contact us from America somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But what we think it was someone who was scraping.
You've got the free stickers.
You got stickers. But you're not some sort of
A sticker collector that doesn't listen to the show.
Or someone's, looking for the word free online and then entering anything.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah. So what happens is there's a site called Oz Bargain and people that find really cool deals on dishwashers or whatever it is, they put them up there so everyone knows about it and they do that as well. They're like, giving away a car, here's how to enter, click the link. And I reckon 20% of my entries thus far have come from Oz Bargain. And good on them. I'm happy with them. But I know that they won't read my emails. They won't click the links. Like, it's no real value to me. So hopefully the overwhelming mass of actual fans will overwhelm them and hopefully win the car.
And then you hope it's one of those that actually wins it, right?
I've got AFC stickers put on it. Sick. Looks good.
Oh, that's great. I was just talking the other day about Yellow Pages. And thinking about what people spent on Yellow Pages back in the day, is this almost like, because people would spend 20 grand on fucking Yellow Pages, is this almost like that version in 2021?
Part of it for me was also all the drama with Facebook earlier in the year, and I was super vocal about that everywhere, every media outlet. I reckon I spoke to more radio stations, like in terms of individual radio stations, than any event I've ever done before that morning that Facebook kicked news off the platform. And I did videos that went, like in my world, viral, like crazy numbers. And I was super passionate about it. And I said, I'm never spending money on Facebook again. Like, I'm never going to spend $20, $50 or $200 to boost a post again, because I've learnt that I don't control that audience. They're not mine. I've spent thousands building the audience by boosting posts, but 18,000 people can like my page, but I only get to, you know, post something to 1,500 of them at a time. It's a bit of a pain. So I've invested in an app. So I'm building an app that's instead of spending on Facebook. And then, the car thing is another way of, it's radio. You and I, we're all the same. Tommy, Josh and me, we're all radio people at heart. Yeah. This is a radio promo. You know what I want to do? I want Tommy to come up, take the car and go black thundering it, give some Coke away.
Icy cold cans of Coca-Cola.
That was terrible switching, by me. That was some of the worst switching.
I also actually don't promo have you for in my field of view. You're over here. So
good. That's fine.
I just saw that.
And so in regards to the app stuff, when it comes to building an app, there's heaps of people who spend a bunch of cash on trying to build an app and then they go to the wrong company and blow all their money. How do you build an app and not
cheers for that build up, because I don't know that I haven't blown all my money yet. I'll tell you what I did. So my idea was, I don't want an app where you read EFTM content. That's on the internet. You can get that in the browser. What I want is an app that allows me to have push notifications to those who choose it. And widgets. I think widgets are the coolest thing on smartphones. Android's had it for years. Apple, they just look slick and they work really well. So I went to freelancer.com and I went, you know what? I just went $5,000. I don't know what it is. I'll give you $5,000. I want an app that does just these things. Yeah. And I paid for the recruiter and everything. And they found me one company. And I'm having this back and forth with this company. I went, can you send me some app examples so I can do some downloads and have a look? No, we've signed NDAs with the companies we work with. And I went, fuck off. I'm not going to hand over $5,000, let alone any more, if you can't show me your work. Yeah, so in the end, I'm not developing an Android app because I haven't found an Android developer yet, but I found an Apple developer who was, in fact, one of the Worldwide Developer Conference, Apple's big developer show every year.
Yep.
He was one of their scholars, so a young kid. He's like 18. He was 16 I first met him. And he, like, he's doing it at a – I'm paying him, but I know that he should be charging me more. But, dropping a few grand on an app like this, I think it looks slick, it's fun, and, I don't know whether it's going to work, but I think it's a point of difference because it's everyone's the same on the web. Yeah. So I'm just trying to do something a little bit different.
Do you have an idea of what you want to get as far as downloads, like what working will look like?
I'd love to have a couple of thousand straight up, like real early, especially given that the comp, so, and I'll let you know here, there's the maximum of 200 entries per person in the comp. There's going to be 75 entries if you download the app. So I'm super incentivizing the app download. If I could get a couple of thousand app downloads straight away, and if I could get to five, if I have 10,000, I'll be dancing in the street and investing in an Android app straight away. And anything above that, it'll just be awesome. Because I'm not one for big audiences. I'm for, engaged audiences. I want people who are into what we do. I just don't want people random. So that's the way I always kind of target things.
We were just talking before about how Apple has an event coming up, and that it actually got leaked via Siri. I don't know if you heard that bit, but
a few hours before,
Do you know what they're expecting for that Apple announcement?
It's the same as everybody announcement. No one really knows, but we can speculate pretty heavily based on rumors. Like Fennec and I, the podcast we do every week, we recorded last night. We spent 30 minutes speculating. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, you know, what you can do is speculate on anything. But I'll tell you right now, there'll be iPads, brand new iPads. Mm-hmm. iPad Pro 12.9 inch, so the big one. So this guy here will get replaced by a new one. Look the same, better camera, better processor, and a whole new screen, mini LED, which is a new technology coming to screens these days. And then I think there'll be a new iPad mini because there hasn't been one for a couple of years. I think they'll spend a lot of time talking about the new Apple Find My, which is their kind of tile tracker. These here are new Belkin headphones that are launching in August in Australia, I think. That will have the Find My tracker built into them so that you can find them if you lost them. They'll talk a bit about that.
So what is it actually, what is it using? So it's, they don't have GPS. Is it using like low power Bluetooth or what's the deal?
So low energy Bluetooth. So these headphones and your key ring constantly emitting a Bluetooth signal. And the power of the Find My app is you go, well, where's my bloody headphones? You open the app, you press a button and they go beep, beep, and you go, oh, there they are. They're under the couch or whatever. But if you lose them at the park or you leave them at the gym, there's millions of people with iPhones, right, and Macs and iPads. Every single one of those Apple devices, as long as they're running iOS 14, when they go past or near these keys or other items, it kind of triggers a location ping. And so if you say it's lost, the thing will then let you know where it is without anyone knowing. Apple doesn't know, Belkin doesn't know, the person that walked past doesn't know. You know where your keys or item is. Very cool.
Yeah, wow. Really cool. I mean, I've seen a video of a dog, and you can hear the find my AirPods going off inside its tummy.
I think
stomach.
That's bullshit.
It'd be muffled, but it would be funny. It would be funny.
Well, you see similar ones where it's like they've got music. They EQ it to make it sound like it's in their guts.
Like it's in their gut,
Trev, is there anything that is a piece of technology that you have that you're blown away by how stupid a function of it is? Like, it's easy to go on an app and go, how did they not introduce thumbnail selection on Square videos in Instagram fucking 10 years ago or whenever it first came out? It seems like the easiest thing they could have done, but obviously from a tech perspective, there's things that are harder and at play. Is there anything that just blows your mind that you've been banging on for years that a company hasn't fixed?
You know what? I can't think of something off the top of my head, Tommy.
Because you don't use shit tech like I do.
I think like one thing that comes to mind with me is back in the day, just having the issue with the copy and paste thing. Then many years, the iPhone didn't do copy and paste like Android. Yeah. Like how ridiculous was that?
Back, it was only 6 or 7 years ago that it was a big deal that Android had copy and paste and iPhone didn't. Finally merged a bit so we don't have those ridiculous things. But, you know, I think that some stuff, you know, it's just the simple things. Sometimes operating a TV shouldn't be as hard as they make it. Sometimes my biggest bugbear is actually more likely in a car. Like I was driving a Toyota Hilux recently, number one selling car in Australia. You know, Toyota Hilux, tradies love them. And Toyota asked me yesterday, they said, oh, when are you going to publish a review? I said, look, two problems. One, I didn't get any photos because it was pissing down rain and I don't do reviews without my own photos. Secondly, I got nothing positive to say about it. It was awful. Like I just didn't, it was slow, responsive. It was like someone designed it 10 years ago and they've gone, we've got to get our 10-year payback on that investment. Like it's just, you got to redesign it. I'm sorry, folks. If your car, if you plug an Apple phone or an Android phone into a car and you get Android Auto, Apple CarPlay, you immediately go, oh, that's better. It's real. It's familiar. It's icons as opposed to menus and all that other bullshit. Sometimes the operating system in cars is just way too complex and should be much more simplified. In fact, if I was selling cars, I would just go, it's got Apple and Android if you plug it in, and there's just a radio otherwise. That's all it is. Everything else is in your phone, people.
In an Uber this morning, and it was an old, like a Mercedes, not too old, but it had a full number sequence, like a dial pad on the actual display. And I was like, that is aged. Any display
is fun, Tommy. You'll love this when Bodhi and your daughter to be are a little bit older, but like it's amazing having your kids with you now. Like my youngest is 9. 9 and a half, you'd say, I guess. And we get in a car and he's like, so I've got this big Genesis, this new four-wheel drive. Genesis is like the luxury version of Hyundai. And I had one a week ago and he, as soon as he saw it in the driveway, he thought it was a Bentley because it looks like one. And I went, nah, buddy, good luck. But cool, well identified, it looks like one. Gets in every part of it. He's driving around. And today we got him one. He looks in the back. And he goes, this one's got automatic up and down for the third row, Dad. And I went, what did the other one have? He goes, just the second row. And I went, oh buddy, this is just it's parenting win, you know, when your kids are able to, you know, identify the things. Like I was doing I had the kids with me this morning. I was doing a piece for Nine News. Like, you know, it's what they call a SimSat. So it's just me and a cameraman and the reporter's on the phone. And they're asking me about privacy, and I was explaining how on an Apple phone, the little green dot comes up if the camera's in use and the orange dot comes up if the audio's in use. We stop recording, and both my kids, Victoria and Harry, 9 and 10, go, did you know that, Dad, that though, if you're on a FaceTime call or something, it changes from orange to green constantly? And I went, oh, no, I didn't. Thanks for being, you know, thanks for jumping in on my little news session here.
Yeah,
it's a great thing when your kids actually start to, you know, love what you do and engage with it. It's, mate, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's one part privilege, one part the future, because it's like any problem that they can, they just don't want that annoyance. Think about this. So what about this one? Apple TV's remote. Uh-huh. That thing I'm forever changing, stopping, it's sliding down, mate, the couch, rubbing my bum.
Number one tip is to go into the settings of your iPhone and customize the control center. You know the control center where you get all your brightness and everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And make sure that your Apple TV remote is in there. So you've always got the Apple TV remote on your phone. So typing, whenever a password comes up, you just type it on your phone. Like just that remote, so I don't even know where ours is. We've all got iPhones.
Yeah. Man, it is. That is. I have used it once. I'm a dumbass for not using it more.
Yeah.
Make it every day, Tommy.
One thing that I need to work out is like I've got a couple of Apple TVs and they all get the same names. And so then I end up, I mean, this is first world.
What a first world problem.
All the Apple,
that's
all the
like
same.
I said, you know, our biggest, I'll tell you first world problem, right? Yeah. This is massive first world. So with an Xbox, if you want to play multiplayer, you have to have Xbox Live or Gold or whatever it's called, right? So I've got that on my account. And my kids have each got Xbox accounts so you can manage their screen time and all that bullshit. If you've got two Xboxes, you can set one of them as the home device. Uh-huh. And so you don't, like the parent doesn't have to log in. It can just be Harry there. But on the other device, I need to log in and then Victoria can play on that and they can multiplayer.
Yeah.
In my house, the first world, third world problem, it's really first world, is I've got four Xboxes. So I can't be playing on the Xbox in here if they're playing out their multiplayer. It will kick them off.
Oh,
like we've got so many Xboxes that my kids are certainly privileged. But it's the best thing because then it's like they argue, they do something wrong. I say, listen, you need to understand that every other kid in your class, they're lucky to have an Xbox and you've got fucking three of them.
This is the home phone knocked off. Mom, get off the portable. I'm on
Tommy,
this.
I took my kids to the Telstra Museum last Friday, a week ago today.
You're a bunch of fun,
it's actually, mate, here's the thing. I had to go because we're doing a Today Show story and I had the kids. So my wife and I do, in the holidays, we do like one day on, one day off. So I'm off today. The kids are out on screen time right now, just so you know.
They're visiting Optus.
And I was meant to record this thing. I was meant to record this segment on Thursday, my day of work. But the Today Show had to bump it back to Friday. I went, okay, no worries, I'll bring the kids. So I said, kids, I need you to come with me. It's going to be boring. I'm really sorry, but we'll get Macca's on the way home. Like, treat. Yeah. No worries, Dad. So we go there and it's for me, it's amazing. It's old mobile phones, it's old pay phones, it's old telephones, it's old exchanges where you actually patch calls through and it all works. Like they've got phones you pick up and you dial a 2-digit number and the one up there rings. Anyway, kids are there and I'm talking, showing them stuff, I'm reminiscing and I'm realizing how fucking old I am. I'm going, used to do this. And you guys were talking a couple episodes ago about like tele cards or phone cards and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that was exactly what I was talking to my kids about. I used to have a card that I'd use to key in a 16-digit number and it would ring mum reverse charges onto her bill so that I could tell her I'm at the station.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, so we do this story. Great fun, rah, 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 for me. We get in the car and I said, thanks, guys. You were well behaved. I really appreciate it. And Victoria goes, oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I went, are you serious? She goes, well, it was like really cool because they were playing with stuff. They were playing with technology of old and they actually were kind of experienced because they'd never heard a dial tone before. And I said to them, I said, just imagine for a second, you're all on Minecraft, right? We've got a realm in Minecraft where we can all play. I said, you're all playing in the realm. And then mum comes home, picks up the phone, and the world drops out. The internet drops out. That's what I used to deal with. My sister would come home, pick up the phone, and I'd be kicked off the internet.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't have any appreciation for how awesome we have it today. It's just
how did they fix that problem? I remember there was some issue, ADSL. Some wave. So that was just the complete fix.
Originally, we had dial-up, which was a modem that plugged into the phone line, and that, like a fax, it would just use the phone and make that noise. And then came along ADSL, which stands for, Josh might know, asynchronous data something line, right? And that meant that if you put that little filter, you had to put a little filter on the line where your phone was, and then the modem still connected directly in, so the modem and the phone could operate at the same time.
That's right, yeah.
And a lot of people had real issues if they didn't have that filter, and they're like, why am I getting such slow speeds?
Why is this happening? Are you going to have a filter? Like back, even 10 years ago, the most common phone call on the radio was, my phone, I'm like, have you got the filter? The little box, is it next to the phone line? No, you don't. Go and get one from Dick Smith.
Back in the old day, what about when you could be on a portable and be picking up next door neighbor's phone call?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that? Remember that, Trev?
You used to get a lot of cross lines, even if it wasn't just the neighbor's portable. Remember just getting cross lines?
Yeah.
Someone else's
windy,
phone
like
call?
Weather, bad weather would make it happen.
Well,
more.
So we got some really cheap wireless microphones to be able to use for the putting putt for a cup. Downstairs, like real, like $130 for two wireless mics, and what it's UHF.
Give them a J car.
No, we got it. Like,
I saw them, and they look similar to the ones I got.
It's a store DJ, like just like real, like karaoke sort of things. But they have, I think it's Is it say UHF on the front? Just there, Tej, on the box where the speaker is. Just here. Yeah, I think it's UHF, and they. They're so funny because it's that classic like cutting out thing that you don't get with the 2.4 gigahertz stuff, right?
Yeah. And I think the other fun one was, do you remember you'd have a sibling on the line, but you'd have two lines in the house? And I had one in my room, and you'd pick it up. If you pick up slow enough, just gently enough, they wouldn't hear the click, and you could put your hand over and you could listen in.
Yeah.
Well, I still think the best one was, remember Dick Smith had those electronics kits? You'd go on your soldering and, you know, learn electronics. Yeah. I remember making, you know, things like a doorbell or whatever, but the best one was a wireless FM microphone, which is a bug. So you'd build this thing, you'd put it in your sister's room, tune the radio to 92.1 or whatever the hell the signal was, and it was a bug. You could listen. It was a microphone broadcasting in FM, and you could listen to what's happening in the other room.
I remember one of the first things I got from the internet was a device called the TV Be Gone.
Fuck, that's an old person thing to say. Like, getting something from the internet. About that. The first thing I got from the internet.
Well, first three. So I remember the first thing I got was a really small slate, like clapperboard that you would see in Hollywood or whatever. But this was a really important lesson because I thought it was a full size clapperboard. Bought it on eBay, and it was just a macro shot. And so I got it, and it was a little like. wooden thing. I was going to use it in my films. It was almost like a key ring. But no, the TV Be Gone, what it would do, Trev, is it was just an infrared signal and you could point it at any TV and turn it off. And so I would just walk around the neighborhood turning off everyone's TV.
Well, do you know when that was great? A few years ago, I've probably not got one here because I've taken all the phones to the office now, but there was a couple of phones, HTC, even Samsung, had an infrared blaster on the phone.
Yes.
And you know, you could just go, I've got an LG TV. Mate, you go to the airport, you say, LG. Yeah. Change the channel on the TV, so no dramas way. At all.
Oh, what about the there? The what? Yeah, JB's here.
I think you need to go down to the front door, Georgie.
Oh,
go down
here
to
the
front door, mate.
Oh, really? What's at the front door? Okay, we can cut to the camera at the front door.
Oh, there is something. There is something on the front door.
We're getting a lot of.
I was getting phone calls, and I'm like, this is not happening. It's an Uber
that's
delivery,
why
right?
Just dumped it. Here we go.
Yeah,
JB, you there, mate?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, great,
JB.
Oh my god,
the front door camera.
Yeah, this is for us. What is that? This is for Josh or George?
Trevor.
George.
Trevor.
Josh, George, Trevor.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Okay. Old mate's like, who the hell is this bloke?
Yeah. It was sus.
So here's what I've done. I've just gone, you know what? If I was still broadcasting after, how many hours you done now?
We're seven to go. So that's
eight and a half.
9 hours, right?
Yeah.
I'd need snacks. I would have gone to a servo and just gone hard on the snacks. So,
Jesus, Trev.
Literally, there should be ice creams. There should be some Ben and Jerry's.
Oh, yes.
They look the golden daytime. I don't like, but they look like something new. So I thought, why don't you try those? They're like a chewy Tuesday, but it's a gay time Friday.
Thanks, Trev.
Carrot milk. Oh, twirls. That's, Snickers.
I mean, that's the kind of, Josh, you'd appreciate it. You would have done this. You pull up and you just go, listen, I'm just. Just I'm going hard.
Oh, no doze.
No doze.
I reckon I might have a heart attack if I had one of these.
Chest hurts.
Josh was talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. I could definitely slam a no doze. GB, honestly, real weird.
Who knew that you could buy no doze from essentially a servo or a convenience
truckies
store?
Truckies do.
Yeah, this is the future. GB, do we have anything that we can throw back to? Do you want to go into the archivist cupboard?
Yeah, I just pop into the cupboard now.
The archivist cupboard, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, all right, I'm in here now. I found a couple of things I can play. So maybe I'll start with one and then we can finish on one.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Great idea.
Right, I'm going to come out of the cupboard now.
Hey, guys, how are you going?
Yeah, good, George.
All right. So before we started the show, we played a little bit about Dill having a... Well, should I give some context?
So 3D Dill was our intern, and Trev was nice enough to organise for him to go up to Sydney. Trev organised the flights, the accommodation, everything. Business class. It was luxe and a very nice hotel as well. I've got to say, 3D Dill had never been, I don't think, in a very fancy hotel before. He didn't understand how the minibar worked. And so over the period of an evening, he smashed everything that was in, ate everything and drank everything that was in the hotel minibar. And I get a call from Trev being like, mate, it's all good. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just surprised. there's a $300. Was it $300 bill? Something like that. $300. It was more for just on the minibar.
I think it might have had a seven in front of it. Just off the top of my head.
Seven, yeah, it was ridiculous. And so anyway, you refused to take our money for it. Mm-hmm. And I remember just being spewing during that time. But
it was funny. I mean, who would have thought that would happen, right? I mean. Yeah. I just thought, I don't want him to have to pay that. You know those incidentals that you get charged $20 or something? I thought, I'll put my card down. It's all good. And he's literally eating the minibar.
The other thing, too, was it's like when he was doing it, it's like, oh, man, it's here, so I might as well use it. He's just putting it on over his head. He didn't even enjoy it. And so what do we have, GB?
Well, so this bit is just basically you called him to do a bit of a test and be like, oh, mate, how's the experience? What was it like?
So this is before, yeah. So Trev, you, I think that you called me and there was a bit like we didn't tell 3D Dill straight away.
So you had to break it to him. Yeah.
Yes. And so what is...
this bit is basically you've told him that he's, you know, he's, they're not free.
Yeah.
And you're just getting him to read out what he ordered.
Sure.
And so you guys did the calculations based on just general maths, but yeah. I think it ends up being more than what it
is. Yeah, okay, cool. All right, here we go. Here it is.
White wine, beer, sparkling water, orange juice, Ferrero Rocher's, Cadbury milk chocolate, Oberon bar. I'm trying to think what else there was.
It's all right. It's on the bill. It's on the bill. Mr. 97, read out the total cost of the minibar.
That little champagne bath dill, $126.
Just with the champagne?
No way.
That's a total of $183.
What was your... So you've heard... You've obviously... You're checking out.
Yeah.
They would have told you... Well, at what point... Clearly, like, we've gotten you... You've been thinking about this, I reckon, all day, have you?
I've tried to keep it out of my mind.
Sorry. Josh is so pissed. That's you being so pissed. That's you furious.
That's a very expensive bath.
Yeah, that was a very expensive bath.
He also mentioned just before that you'd organised him like Uber Black gift cards to the airport. He really made the most of it.
Fortunately, I did actually organise that. I remember trying to, because I was trying to make something of it for him. I was trying to like properly pick-swing and show off, right? And I think that I'm pretty sure I organised for Uber to send me some vouchers. So that's not on my account, so I don't give a rat's.
Hey, with the partner, you talk about what you're spending your money on. Did you have to explain to your wife what the fuck happened?
No. You see, Tommy, I live in a world where I operate a couple of businesses. I have EFTM, Prolong Media, and then I have another account that used to be those business accounts, and then there's my family accounts. My wife has no idea what I spend.
Business expense.
Yeah. Where are you buying the Lego from? Which account's that?
that's from EFTM because I review it. It's very important to be able to review your product.
Yeah. No, definitely.
I bought a $350 set of Lego a couple of months ago, a Nintendo, and I just thought, you know what, I'll make a YouTube video because then it's a proper write-off, okay? Right? It's content. Oh, ABC, folks, always be contenting.
Always be contenting. Man, you've been part of our journey for a very long time.
When did you, what was the first episode, Trev, that you listened to?
Around 20. I wasn't live for the squeegee. So I'm post 14, 15. So I'm saying around 20. And then, there was a period there where my commute, because I work from home, but because I do the Today Show pretty much, three or four times a week back then, I was able to listen literally to every episode and have time to spare. But what my biggest problem was, and I've spoken to Josh about this, I literally just stopped listening last year because of COVID, not because I didn't want to, but because it didn't fit into my life anymore. I don't listen to podcasts anytime outside the car, just never. I don't ever have headphones on and listen to podcasts. It's my driving thing. It's either music or podcasts. And so I never drove anywhere more than my office is 4 minutes down the road, and I was doing the Today Show from there. I was working from there or here. I didn't drive. So I literally missed, a large part of the COVID, hype in terms of the show and all the things you did.
You miss GB. I a lot, you don't know who
there was a problem. No, he wants to know who the fuck's GB. Literally, we're like, who is this guy? He was like, what's going on? I had no idea what was happening. It was so confusing to me when I tried to come back in, and then I felt distant. I came back in and went, oh, well, my family's moved on from me. The trip, I think Josh's overseas trip was a kind of, I think for you guys, you'll look back, and this sounds like the old guy in the room speaking, but I've done more than 1,000 episodes of podcasts, my own and Two Blokes Talking Tech, over 10 years.
Yeah.
So I've hit the 10-year milestone already, and it's super rewarding because, it's a milestone. But we never set that milestone, whereas you've actually set a milestone. I think you'll look back year after year on that period of time where the dedication that it took to do hours, so Tommy getting up early or Josh getting up early, week to week, day to day, to make it work, was you two establishing a genuine commitment to the show. Mm-hmm. And I think that as listeners, because if you listen back to every episode in the month before the trip, there was a bit of we might do every day. It wasn't definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until you got there that you realised, you could. And, mate, let's be honest, the star of the show is actually Bree. Because I don't know if there's any other partner on the planet, and Tommy, forgive me, but I don't even think Amy would jump at you dedicating your time in your holidays to that kind of commitment.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of running around Greek islands trying to find SIM cards for data.
Like a drug dealer, but podcast. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I actually should. I'm sure there would have been a better way. I'm sure I could have gotten one good SIM. Vodafone. Vodafone. You always
Vodafone with it. Right now, mate, I've used them since COVID. I broke Vodafone as soon as I wasn't traveling. Like I don't need to use them anymore. I switch carriers every month now. It's awesome.
Yeah,
you do spend money.
You really switch
in the last 3 months. I've changed from Telstra to Optus. Now I'm on Boost Mobile. In a couple of months, I'll probably change to. I want to change to one of the Optus MVNOs.
It's
really interesting. Well, the transition process, because I say to people all the time, it's one of my favorite things to say on the radio and TV is switch carriers. You can take your number and you can save money. But I did it once in 6 years because I was just stuck on Vodafone because I needed it to travel. you know, switching to Optus was a nightmare, like a legit nightmare. It was
as
it was
in
painful.
The actual transition process or just the reception?
You know, trying to get them on live chat and all this kind of stuff. Mm. Just it wasn't a good process porting my number over. But I got really shitty with it and I went, no, keep going because I want to try the network. In the end, I was only with them for 6 days because there's bugger all coverage here. And this is where I do a lot of my phone calls with radio. So I had to ditch them. Ditch switching to Boost Mobile, 6 minutes. 6 minutes from putting the SIM card in, going to the website, and it was live. Man, crazy. And you keep your phone number and you can save money. It's just so easy to do. So, and I part of me, there's this, problem that I have where I don't spend money on tech, right? So I say to people, oh, buy this router. It's, $1,600. It's great. I didn't pay for it. They fucking gave it to me.
Dude, I've been telling people to buy a vacuum and a robot vacuum, but I didn't pay for it. So I'm that guy as well.
But someone has to be the person that experiences it and talks about it. And so what I try and do whenever I can is also put my money where my mouth is. So I spend a lot of money. I mean, my wife has no idea the money I spend, but I spend a lot of money on stuff. The decorations of the office are amazing, but that Lego, just different things, because sometimes like I pay for my Spotify, Apple Music, Netflix, Stan and Disney because I can get them all for free. But there's going to be a narc on Twitter who says, yeah, you fucking get it all for free, you prick. And I'm like, piss off, I pay for it all. So I just want to have that comeback. I want to be able to say to people that my life isn't about freebies. I spend as much as I can when I can. I bought a new car, cost me $60,000. I've got a lease as well. I got a loan. Sometimes you've got to make it clear to people you're real and you do normal things. So switching mobile plans to me is just a grounding thing. Keeps me
also
grounded.
The other thing too is if you're always after the freebie, then people will expect freebies from you. But if you set the expectation that you're paying for it and all that sort of thing, then you can charge for your service as well for certain clients.
I don't know if you ever live that way, but I don't think I live that way, but I always think, you got to look rich to be rich, or you got to look successful to be successful. Like Josh, you and I are very similar. I genuinely think we were separated at birth somewhere because like we were talking the other day about Melbourne Geek and having stickers on the car and stuff. Like that's me. I was the same. Yeah. I had business cards before you needed business cards, all that kind of stuff. It's like buying the car to give away.
Yeah.
Part of that is letting car companies, like ringing Hyundai and saying, I want to give away a car. How many phone calls like that do you think they get a year? Hundreds. X thousand people. We reached this and that. No, I went, listen, I just want to buy a car. I just love a good deal if I can. I'm willing to spend in excess of $20,000. And they were very accommodating because they don't have to deal with the dickhead factor. And so part of it is just, continually trying to let people know that, sure, if I can't do it, then if I'm that passionate about it, I'll buy it to review it. But it is a two-way street. Like I'm not going to buy every DJI drone because there's not enough business in drones for that to be justified. So if DJI want me to review stuff, you've got to send it to me to review. Like it's depends on the product. It really depends on the product.
Mm-hmm. That's I'm loving my vacuum. I sold one, Trev. We got a sale.
Yeah.
That's influence, mate. Mate of mine sent it to me. He's shooting around the house.
But isn't that a good feeling though? It's actually a nervous feeling most of the time because you're like, oh, fuck, I hope it's as good for them as it is for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the biggest problem is when people go cheap. Like I've got one it's a different brand, but it's like $1,200, $1,300 and it goes up to a dock and it vacuums itself out. Like it's empty. Like it empties itself into an empty
place. Oh my God.
It's crazy.
I need that.
it can avoid cables and stuff. It's crazy. And I say to people, that's the one that my wife likes. It's the first one that stays in our house. The $300, $400 ones have never lasted because they don't do the job that my wife expects. And if I used to mop the floors and they weren't any good, she'd make me do it again too, right? Yeah, so it's not just the vacuum. This is judging. And so if people go cheap on me, I'm like, you've got to realize you're going to have this experience. So it's nerve-wracking when people say they're going to do it, but then when they ring you or text you and say, oh, this thing's awesome, you're like, yes, it is. Like it's validation in a little way. I'm kind of glad that's worked. How's the camera going? Is the camera of use or security?
Got it at the front. You know what? How's this? I was a bit lazy. I got it on a Friday. I think there was one of them. Hmm. Maybe it hadn't arrived yet. The vacuum arrived on a Friday. Mm-hmm. The camera arrived on the Monday. There was a home invasion across the road on the Saturday and I didn't have the camera up.
Was that the one with the cops and everything?
Yeah, it was full on. But it's up now. But so handy. I think I'm actually more paranoid when I have my it's lost connection to my phone. Like it's I need to reconnect it to its to the Wi-Fi. But yes. I'm actually holding off. It's still working and getting it onto the SD card. Yeah. But I'm actually less paranoid when I don't check it. Mm. Like I get so paranoid. That, like,
look, to be honest, think about it. This is the way I think about security cameras. And I've got – I took a photo the other day of a car in my driveway. And, you know, people – it's the reason my wife's rule is you can't put photos on Facebook that have mess in the background because it's people, we don't want people to think we live in squalor, even though we do. It's a place that so I photo on the driveway and people like zoom into the back and I've got at the front corner of the house, there's four security cameras like in the exact same spot. And some guy goes, you got enough security cameras? And I'm like, dude, I review technology. That's how I review them. Like for like, how do they sit side by side? But I personally don't have notifications for security cameras because what are you going to do?
What are you going to
run back and bash someone? No.
Yeah.
If you're in the house asleep, the notification is not going to wake you. The breaking of the glass or something will. Definitely. It's evidence. It's proof. It's a security check. It's a security blanket. You know, when something happens, did that courier leave that parcel? I'll look at the camera. Yeah, it's still there. It's good. Yeah. No worries.
But the one you sent me did have a flamethrower on it.
Oh, we've got someone.
Oh, we got someone at the door?
Who's at the door? So Charles said in the chat, there's something on its way for Jess. Do you want to just go down?
Charles has spent his
I'm worried that Charles is spending now.
Check. Here we go. I wish we had that.
Okay, here we
just
go.
Just coming.
This is, can Trev see this too? Yeah.
Yeah,
have Trev any of the, I've got to look to the side. But
do you want to see if he wants to do a putt? Do you want to see if he wants to do a putt?
For Charles? Yeah, thank you.
Oh,
he did an ID. From who? Josh.
Oh, it's alcohol.
You can have mine. George. Yep. We're recording a podcast at the moment. Oh, cool. Yeah. Do you want to be on it for a second? I
got another delivery. Yeah, they've all.
We've got another delivery to go. Yeah.
Hear us.
Yeah. In other words, he doesn't want his family knowing what he's doing or something. You are live on YouTube. Is there a sign saying they're on the internet?
I did think about printing one out.
That's all right. That's a downward shot.
That's as far as we
got. We had Trev, an Uber driver, up here in the room, and she was loving it. Took photos. Took a video of us
putting it on social media. Yeah.
Did she ask permission for that?
No. But she also did a putt.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I know you fucked up the 1,000 calculation early on, which was the funniest thing. But I was like, oh, fuck, it still falls in the school holidays because, like, as I said, you know, day on day off, I would have totally flown down because it would have been great. But,
That would have been so fun. Yeah.
Here we go.
In comes George.
Wow.
If this is from Charles, Charles has got his mum's Uber account for sure because he's not 18 yet. Is he 18?
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if you can still buy alcohol.
You just need to show the license, I guess.
Yeah.
On the receipt. It's the recipient that needs to show it because they're handing it over. They have to hand it over to someone who's over 18.
Yeah.
What's the worry, Trev, in 2021, what's the biggest worry you have with your kids and technology out of everything that you're saying?
Snapchat's my biggest worry still because it's unseen. You know, like my 14-year-old's on Snapchat and I really wish he wasn't. I really wish we'd have blocked it early on and just stayed the course. But anyway, regrets, we have a few. Because you don't know what they're saying. It all disappears and you can't have conversations about it. Mm-hmm. So that concept of what are you sharing worries me greatly because, you know, what kids share, cameras everywhere. Carrying a camera around, the opportunity to, you know, just show something, oh, man, that just freaks me out. And I don't know how we properly stop that other than making them put the fear of God into them. Like, that's what I do. I just go, like, I'll show an example. My son is smart enough to understand now, but my daughter, when she gets a phone probably next year, at the end of next year, I will show her how I can keep a copy of a photo she sends me without her knowing. Uh-huh. And once she sees that, I'll be like, you remember, I can put that anywhere on the internet. And that's the problem, right? Everything's on the internet. Once it's on the internet, it's there for life. That's still our biggest challenge as a society. It's not Donald Trump being on Facebook. It's, you know, social media sharing of content.
Yeah, dude. Look how quick it happened. Like, I had my first mobile phone at in grade 6, Nokia 5210 banana color. By the time Yeah, even like 16, 17, it was a camera phone. But like all the stuff from my era was deleted because the phones were so shit.
Charles just said, I just got a notification from Uber Eats that says I can now order alcohol without ID. Thanks, GB.
Also, there you go. That's how you don't let your kids.
Interesting.
That is a hack.
That is a great hack, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
If you have
I kind of want George to try that now.
Yeah, Charles needs to try. Charles, buy yourself something
send
nice.
Send us more and then we won't show ID.
No. George.
Charles needs to send himself something.
So, Charles, with your parents by your side, yeah. Can you fix this for us?
Yeah,
Order some wine for your mum, but you answer the door. That's the critical thing, right? Because we've proven you can get it to the door. But you now need to be the one that picks it up.
Yeah, yeah. How crazy that we're talking about things that kids should be, we're worried about our kids, and there it is.
We're all just worried about Josh.
That's very true. Trav, thanks so much, mate, for all of the support over the last 1,000 episodes. We've seen you throughout the journey, being along the sidelines and involved, and that means a lot.
Boys, seriously, I love the show, and I don't say that because I've known Josh for a little bit longer than the show's been going, but I do, having you in my life gives me people in my life. It's like, having people in a room and just having people, because I work alone, so I think that's the case for a lot of people. They enjoy this because it's like being part of the banter, and I think that's what you've nailed beautifully, and I think you've come back to the basics again this year, which I applaud, and I think you're smashing it. So here's to another 7 years and, millions of episodes.
Thanks, Trev.
And Charles says he doesn't have Uber Eats in Bathurst, sadly.
Oh.
So there you go.
I do just have one more thing to play on that note.
Yes.
It's all about Trev's support over the years, and the Gronk squad can get a bit fired up at each other.
Okay.
Listen, just on Ben Fordham, we have to talk about this. I believe I remember an Instagram story whereby you re-storied his story, where he was talking about being a Gronk and on the Gronk squad. You're like, verified Gronk. I'm the fucking number one ticket holder.
You are King Gronk.
Johnny come lately. Yeah. Verified Gronk.
You know what? If we've got King Gronk there, Queen Gronk, Gemma Watts, imagine them arm in arm walking into a big live show that we're putting on.
And Ben Fordham would be holding the fucking ring.
Thank you, Trev.
That's cheers, boys.
Awesome. Trev. Thanks, mate.